Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm a feminist, but a gay male friend messaged me yesterday saying his hotel was on fire and 30 firemen had turned up. And I replied, oh, a calendar of firemen. I believe that's the collective noun.
I love it.
I know full well that I've had emails on this show before.
Is it an I'm a feminist but because you didn't say firefighter?
Yes. I've had it.
On an episode about bisexuality, even crying out loud.
I know. Well, this is the thing, is I've said before, oh my God, my notes do this thing where
they've gone in bold and all big. Even I can read it from here now. I'm struggling not to.
But it's doing this thing where it writes everything I say.
Mine does that.
But I don't want it to. It's so incriminating.
Especially when you're texting someone and then you're halfway through the message and then you start talking about them with whoever you're with IRL and it starts just like coming up in the message. You're like, no.
And like what it's written is, what time is it? Yes, I know. Is I've good night.
Yeah. It's not even what we were saying.
When people worry that AI is going to take over the world, that's AI. It's absolute shit. No, I mean, in 5 years' time, it obviously will, but at this point, it's got no chance. What happened to
me? I love that firefighter thing, though. My son got... he's joined a cult. I don't know if this is a safe place to talk about beavers.
He's only, like, seven, is he?
It's beavers is the cult. And
sorry, beavers... Oh, that's right, you told me this before. It's a bit like scouts.
For younger children.
I don't think they should call
scouts.
It beaver. It's like calling it mingers. Beavers.
Well, they're very progressive now. It used to be a gentleman's club, beavers, and now any gender or religion of person is invited to beav.
Well, that's really on topic for this theme.
Yeah. They did a trip to the local fire station, and for once I was like, yes, I will volunteer to join.
Oh, and you volunteered to chaperone the beavers to the fire station.
We were all genuinely allowed to hold a hose.
Is everything you're going to say tonight going to be a great big pun?
No. Some of them will be tiny, subtle puns.
Oh, my God.
It was really great. I found I had a surprising number of questions for the firefighters.
Yes.
Yeah, my son had very much run out of steam, but I really was reluctant to let my one go.
Were all the firefighters men, or were there some
On shift that day, they were all men. But there we were had some ones. Great chats about that. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe I'll do that next. God, this is so off theme, sorry. But I thought, actually, do you know what? I'm not scared about running in the burning. I don't mind the burny stuff.
Yeah.
Not.
I think they call it fire.
I'm a feminist, but 40, still calling it Bernie stuff. I don't want to prize people out of car crashes. So, I think that's most of what they do in London.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Cats out of trees, humans out of cars. I'm not good for it.
No.
I'd be crying on them, no. Puking on them, they'd still be trapped.
No.
Useless. Okay, my turn.
Yes, go on.
I'm a feminist, but even the most powerful, impressive and vital feminist voices on Instagram, if they invite me to join their new channel, are dead to me. I'm sick of it. I'm new channeled out. Everyone's got a new channel.
Have they?
Get out of my blimmin' eyeballs, new channels.
What is it? What's a new channel? Like a YouTube
place where
channel
you can go and shush and listen to people's shouting.
But is it a new platform?
I say that as a comedian who really wants people to come and see my next tour. the irony. It's a new bit of Instagram, and everybody's
I don't want any more bits.
I'm bigger now.
Everyone's running a television station and a newspaper now.
No.
How do people have the bandwidth? I just don't have the energy for it anymore. I mean, Zainab's brilliant. She does my social media, and I know that I should make more videos and be like, hey, it's me. And every time I think of doing it, I just die a little inside and think, people don't need to see my face. There are enough faces. I mean, obviously, if you're running a television network, I want to be on that. I just don't want to be every day running a television network. Just point, if someone else does the makeup and points the camera at me, I'm into it. But to have to do all of that, no. And I don't want to watch anyone else's things anymore either. I just think you and I should go off and be hermits.
Yeah.
But like in New York.
Oh, I'd love it.
I'm a feminist. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
My turn? Okay. I'm a feminist, but when my friend messaged me about the fire, he was in New York and I sent him pictures of Samantha from Sex and the City with firemen before I checked everyone was okay. Like, especially that picture of her with the sort of no top and the fire, you know, the sort of the braces just over her nipples.
Amazing.
I said, and then I went, is everyone okay? And he went, I don't know, but he was really enjoying the content, so he... equally.
I think you're helping to stop him being too stressed out about a situation, and that's lovely, actually.
He was standing outside and he said there are 30 firemen. He said men, not firefighters. He said that. Now, I know we are meant to say firefighters, but then he was sending me pictures and video and fire trucks, and eventually they threw them all out. They said, get away from the hotel. He said a fireman pushed him out of the way and it was very erotic. Mm.
Can just imagine it, can't you?
Yeah, it's an exciting moment for anybody, I think.
Also, if someone's like, there's a fire, there's loads of firemen, that is not the moment for you to be like, it's actually firefighters.
Yes, no, indeed. As he watches his possessions burn. Sorry, it's firefighter. No. But I'll start it. Any firefighters in? Give us a cheer. Anyone know a firefighter? You do?
After the Beavers trip, I know about 9 of them.
Anyone know a female or a non-binary firefighter? Give us a cheer. You do? Oh, well, we want to get them on the show because I want to hear more about it.
I'm a feminist, but...
Yeah.
Are you getting them on now? Shall I do mine?
No, do yours. They're not here.
I'm a feminist, but I recently walked into a formal setting, saw a man I don't know very well and immediately inquired about his penis.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah, I actually did. So there's a coach at my gym, and
Is this going to turn into a story of workplace harassment?
Yeah, I hope not. I don't know. And so he had posted a picture. He'd done a competition and he'd posted a really funny series of, he said, a story in pictures. And he was doing what's called a dumbbell snatch, where you pick a dumbbell up from the floor like that, and then eventually it ends up over your head. And the first picture was him picking it up. The next picture of him was like that. And in the next picture, he'd crunched it into his own knickknacks, twig and berries. And his eyeballs in the picture were like up in the back of his head. And it was really funny.
And it's called a snatch.
Yes.
He pushed a snatch
himself
into
right
his
in the twig
penis.
And berries with it. Yeah, he'd really pulled. It's quite easy done with well, I don't know. But like, anyway, I can imagine. Anyway, he'd done that. It was really funny. I hadn't seen him since he posted that. I did respond to the post going, ah ha ha ha, ah ha ha. You know, kindly. So that was quite feminist. but then, hadn't seen him for about 5 days. It was one of those days where, you know, you don't talk to anyone for like till 2 p.m. So actually, you haven't sort of dusted off the rust socially. And I walked into the gym. There he was. And I went, oh, how's your dick and balls?
Oh, my God.
Before I'd even said hello.
And what did he say?
Yeah, they're fine. And then
you weren't the only one who'd asked.
But then I was like, oh, I'm aware I probably... that wasn't socially okay.
You crossed a social line there. Yeah. But look, I think in the gym world, you do a lot of this lifting, this heavy lifting that you do. You do a lot of PE that you call it.
Yeah.
I think in the context of that world, I think it's probably okay.
Yeah.
Because if he just went, yeah, fine, loads of people had come in and asked him. Stuff
like that does happen. I don't mean super inappropriate, but you are just like a little bit more literal about your body where I do. Somebody the other day was correcting me, like, on a rowing machine, like on an erg machine for power, and they were like, you're pulling it too, like, low. You need to pull it, you just meant to pull the thing to your chest. They were like, put it a bit higher. And someone said, yeah, pull it to your tits. And I was like, actually, I think I need to pull it to where they used to be. Yes. We do have that sort of conversation quite often.
Fun.
Yep.
I'm a feminist, but the fireman incident was when I realised I'm less feminist when I hang out with gay men than I am with lesbians.
Oh, that's good and on theme.
Yes.
How feminist are you when you hang out with bisexual people?
That's the interesting one. Mm. So I think I'm the most feminist when I hang out with lesbians.
Ooh.
Because I feel I should be and I ought to be, and they'll spot it and correct it if I'm not. Then, that's a lesbian laughing because she knows I'm right. Then... probably, I think I am probably then second most feminist with bisexual women, then straight women, and finally gay men or bisexual men.
Fascinating.
But straight men, it's a tricky one, that, isn't it? Because then I think I have to be a model of feminism. But some things I might be thinking that, you know, like it's more than I'm in a teaching role.
Okay. I think you're probably your most feminist with straight men, unless they're firemen.
Maybe.
I'm a feminist, but I went for a friend's 32nd birthday lunch recently and I found myself delighted that I was wearing the same cut of jeans as them all. They were all 8 years younger than me and they all had the same jeans on as me.
Did you parade around in them? Did you like do some bending over?
No, I just felt real great and young. I hadn't been sure about wearing them, and I was like, are these a bit midlife crisis-y? But I was like, no, today I'm fitting right in.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand and heavily relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm only interested in being a timeless matriarch. I'm not interested.
If you're going to only be interested in one thing, that is a great coverall.
Yeah. I'm just for myself, for my identity,
yeah.
For myself.
Yeah.
I identify as a timeless matriarch.
Great.
I don't really intend to age. I just intend to be mysteriously aged, always relevant, present, youthful in attitude and connections.
Glorious.
That is what I'm going for. And I think far I have knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think that's how people see me. And if anyone doesn't see me that way, please don't tell me. I'm not interested in hearing anything except,
so nice.
Yes, That is correct, Deborah. That is how we see you.
Love it.
Ever present, totally unique, but also you fit in wherever you are. A one-off and yet very much part of the furniture.
Gorgeous.
A one-off part of the furniture, like a console table in Fraser Crane's flat.
I love it.
How I'm seeing myself. Okay. I'm sure other people don't see me that way and I don't give a fuck. I need to lie to myself.
I see you that way.
Do you?
Yeah.
Thank you. She's probably lying, I don't care.
No, no. I can't anymore.
You can't lie anymore?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I've lost all my social masking.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. The pandemic, I think. I was at a party recently and I was bored and a lady was telling me about a card game she plays with her child. And she said, God, you look bored.
And what did you say?
I said, I'm ever so sorry.
And then just walked away. Imagine you just walked away. I'm ever so sorry.
I didn't quite just walk away. I gave her a list of things I was feeling distracted by, which I don't think sated her, but it was true.
I don't want to hear about a card game you play with your kids.
No.
No, never. I mean, it'd have to be so entertaining and
dangerous. I'm a feminist, but all my parent friends, I haven't got many, all my parent colleagues, all the people I see every day on the school run, I just get taking the pressure off them with every different description of the same people. All the people I know with a child the same age as my son have all taught their kid the same card game, but I'm the only one who's taught him the real name for it, Shithead. So I'm now in the awkward situation where my son will have a friend going like, do you want to play Poo Poo Head? Do you want to play Wee Wee Shuffle? And he'd be like, do you mean Shithead? He's eight.
Oh, wow.
I think, trust them with it.
Live from Soho Theatre in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Postecue, and our very special guest, Mary O'Connell, talking about heteronormativity through the lens of bisexuality. Hello, 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 and welcome. Look, I seem so high up, and that's because there's a play on, I guess, and they've got this jazzy set. But that means that I'm like towering over you. Normally it's rake seating. And so it's a lot more flattering angle for me. Because I am aware if you're in the front row, you currently have the view I have when I accidentally open my camera phone at the wrong moment. I go, oh God, is that what I look like? You have the chin angle. So I need you to imagine that I am 25% more attractive than you think I am. People sitting up there, up the back, I'm about 5% less attractive than you think I am. You've got the flattering selfie high arm pose. No one in this room is seeing me at my truthful self. And that's show business, baby. That's no, middle. No, there's no middle ground here for you. When I'm really successful, I'm only going to play West End theatres and none of the stalls will be sold. It would just be dress circle gods because those are the angles I'm interested in people seeing me from. How about us doing feminism on a Friday night? That's right. We're not like those fair weather feminists to, you know, do feminism Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and then on Friday night think, fuck it, let's go to the pub. No, we're still at it. 9 o'clock. Is it 9 o'clock? 9:30? 9:15? What time is it? 9:40. That not 9:40, and we did go up late, but the play came down late. Apparently someone fainted or something. Something happened. What happened? We don't know. Nobody died, though, did they? Everything's okay?
No one died.
That sounds like the best news they could give us. Is someone in intensive care? Are they okay? Just they're okay. There was a fainting.
Yes, they're okay.
They're okay. They're okay. Okay. So if everybody could stay upright for the duration of this show, it's only an hour or so long. How long have we got? An hour or so? There's no one in after us, but also it gets to a point where people go, we've had enough feminism now. Now we want to hit the pubs. Just give us a cheer if you listen to The Guilty Feminist. Woo! Give us a cheer if you don't know what you're at. Woo!
Yeah, there's always quite a few people at Soho Theatre who've come, and I've started to understand they've come because they think it's a play. Just give us a cheer if you thought you were coming to a play called The Guilty Feminist. Yes. I don't want to assume your gender. Are you, in fact, a man? Sorry? Are you a man? I don't want to assume your gender. You're a man? Yes. You alone thought it was a play. But have you come with people?
Yes.
But they didn't. They told you it was a play. And not a feminist lecture. Interesting. Yeah. Do you remember that one-woman show in Friends that Chandler was made to go on a tour on his own? Poor Chandler. He died this week. I know. But do you remember that? Just in honour of Chandler, I will reenact a bit of it. My first period! The rest of you can leave. It's just me and him. What's your name?
Gavin.
Why did your friends not explain to you what this was? Or were you not listening, Gavin? Are your friends women, Gavin? And did you not listen when they told you what it was? In which case, I understand why they've brought you in the first place. You see where I'm going with this, Gavin? You need the show. Does Gavin need the show? Is that why you've brought him? Yes. Are any of you dating Gavin? You aren't dating Gavin. Okay. Did you describe it to him as a play?
I read the description quite late.
You read the description quite late. Oh, so you thought it was a play, at the last minute realised it wasn't, and thought, I'm not telling Gavin, he'll run. He's run before, Gavin. He's run before and he'll run again. That's what's happened. I see. You did say it was a recording of a podcast. Yeah, well, he hasn't listened to that. Yeah. Okay. Well, Gavin, welcome. It's not a play. But if anyone who thought it was a play would like me to do a small play, we don't have time right now. I have had to do that before when a significant number of people in the audience thought it was a play. I have had to improvise a short play, but tonight, I'm not doing one just for you, Gavin. So, but if you'd like me to do one in the bar afterwards, I'll read you a little bit of The Merry Wives of Windsor. I'm not sure that was the most feminist play. Were those wives merry? Of course they fucking weren't. It was Elizabethan times. They were fucking miserable. All right, so if you don't know what it is, it's a podcast. And if you don't know what a podcast is, it's radio that nobody stops you making, which is why women do it so often. We're banned from the normal channels. And you'll see as it goes along, but we're recording a podcast tonight. So if you do a laugh, you will hear it later when you're listening when you're later listening it. Because Gavin, you will be now listening to The Guilty Feminist. It would be weird if you didn't. We're friends, and we're going to bump into each other now again and again. I'll see you around and so forth. And I'll be like, Gavin, have you listened? And you'll be like, yeah. And I'll be able to tell by looking in your eyes that you're lying. And it's going to get super awkward. Okay. So Gavin, you are now a listener. In fact, get your phone out now and subscribe. Just like do the, you're not doing it, Gavin. This is a feminist show. It's a feminist show and a woman in a position of authority with a microphone is telling you to do something and you're just not doing it. I don't understand. Yeah, no, he's doing it now. Thank you. All right, so tonight, what we decided to talk about was heteronormativity through the prism of bisexuality. And I am going to be quoting Foucault. That's as light as we get, Gavin. That's us on a light night. That's us on a light night, Gavin. All right. So I have to do a little bit of stand-up, but I can't stand up again because we've got two stand-ups on tonight. So I'm just going to do this little bit for you about bisexuality. So I don't normally do this. I normally do a bit of a warm-up with the audience, but tonight I'm not doing that. And I've warmed you up a bit, but I haven't really talked to you except for Gavin, and that'll have to do. I'm a feminist, but my crowd work was exclusively Gavin. You're a feminist, but you've just edited out Gavin's girlfriend. Why would you erase her like that? I'm a feminist, but I have identified her as Gavin's girlfriend because I did not ask her name. I'm sure that's not how she identifies. Gavin's girlfriend, what's your name?
Mary.
Okay. Also the name of our guest tonight. So you've already got something in common. Are you happy it's not a play now, Gavin? No, you'd like a play. Actors don't talk to you. Okay. The first time I ever went on a date with a woman, is I was staying in New Zealand on tour in a hotel with a singer who I often tour with called Grace Petrie. Yeah, she's fantastic. Now, Grace Petrie is a chartered lesbian, and I was taking my very first steps. So I'd gone out and I'd met a woman in a social context, and I thought maybe she was flirting with me and I really fancied her. So I came home and I said to Grace Petrie, I'm going to need your help. Was this flirting? Because, you know, with a man, I think I've got a good read on what flirting is. But with a woman, like in a same-sex situation, often women are very open and very warm and very friendly and very, you know, touchy, and we hug each other and we tell each other everything we're wearing is wonderful anyway. So how do you know it's flirting? I asked Grace Petrie. She said, well, it's very difficult to tell. So I told her everything that had happened, and she said, I cannot diagnose that. Even as one of the world's foremost chartered lesbians. And then this woman, we'll call her Rita, because that definitely wasn't her name, texted me a link to a horoscope app that she said would change my life. And Grace Petrie explained to me that that was basically the equivalent of a lesbian dick pic. So I texted her back, bit of back and forth, and I said, are you around this weekend to hang out? Because Grace Petrie is going to a Pride event out of town. And she said, and I'm staying here, and she said, why aren't you going to Pride with Grace Petrie? And I said, because you're here, and I was hoping to kiss you. I know. Thank you. That does deserve a round of applause. You're correct. Because it was on WhatsApp, and I thought she could always say lol. Then I'd say lol, it'd be fine. Honestly, the best way to ask anyone something difficult, WhatsApp, because you can't read tone on WhatsApp. If they don't say lol, you can say lol. I thought, oh, fuck. She hasn't said anything. Then after a while, I was thinking, I hope she does say lol. But in fact, I saw the little dots come up, and she said, well, you're only human. I thought, that's a good response. And she said, why don't you come over to my place? I'll cook you dinner and we'll see how it goes. And it was at this point I ran into Grace's room and said, Grace, I've got a date for tomorrow night. Grace was infuriated. She said, Deborah, tomorrow night is Valentine's Day. I am single and on tour, and I don't have a date for Valentine's Day. I have been a professional lesbian since I came out of the womb. She said, you are a junior lesbian at best. You have barely preheated your oven. How dare you? And I said, Grace, we don't have time for these remonstrations. How does it work? Because I've asked her out, but she said she's cooking for me, but I'm going to her house, but she's a more experienced queer woman, and this is my first outing. Do I take flowers? Like, what's the code here? Like, there's no social conditioning for lesbians. There's no same-sex social conditioning. There's no norms. Who brings the boombox? I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know how it works. There needs to be more social conditioning for same-sex couples. And I said, do I bring flowers? And Grace said, Deborah, you're a lesbian now. You bring a suitcase. If you want to hear more about what happened on this date, then you have to come to my solo show. I don't know when I'm doing it again. Thank you so much. Are you ready to meet our wonderful co-pilot for this evening? She's one of your favourites and mine. It's the incredible, the one, the only, the Jessica Vostercue. Hello, darling.
So funny. I really enjoyed that. Also, I hope you know I haven't made any promises not to talk about anything serious. Might not be able
when
to help
was the
myself.
Last time that you talked about something serious, Jess Foster Q? When I forced you to?
Yeah,
on the
when
show.
Did we last do a guilty promise?
No. We usually do a gear change when the guest comes out.
Yeah.
And then we break that gear change with a well-timed joke.
Aren't these driving metaphors? Can you even drive?
You can drive. I drive?
Yeah, you drive.
Yeah, I drive. Yeah, I drive. Not very much anymore, to be honest, because I live in London.
I think the last time you drove was the last time I spoke about one of the most serious topics.
Yeah, honestly, the last time I drove seriously...
Yeah. I like the idea. Yeah, sorry.
I'm not just pootling around, you know, a beach town or something. The last time I... I drove a bunch of people to Latitude on a motorway and nearly killed everyone.
I thought you were saying on a motorbike. But
motorway.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
It was so bad. We had to stop at a motorway service station and ring up the insurance company and get one of the other people in the car put on the insurance. It wasn't just that I wasn't willing to drive any further. It was that my passengers were not willing to be driven any further by me. That's where we're at.
Well, we... Lovely. That could have been an I'm a Feminist Bat for you.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, I'm sure at some point it has been. I've been doing this show for 7.5 years. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Jessica Foster Kew, and we're talking about heteronormativity through the lens of bisexuality.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. I mean, really, we're talking about how to be bi and feminist.
Yeah.
And the feminism within bisexuality, the ways not to be feminist with bisexuality. We're going to have a general all-round chat about being...
Just big, found a new spot.
Yeah, big, strong bi girls. What?
Sorry, I thought I might have ADHD.
The G-spot.
I just found a new spot.
I thought you said the G-spot.
No, quite the opposite of anything. It's making me sad.
I must find out what Foucault said about the G-spot.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. How to be bisexual and be feminist.
Yeah.
I think one good starting point is being part of a generation who stopped shouting, which one's the man? Yeah, that's a good start.
Hannah Gadsby has a joke, neither of us are the man, that's the point. She says, men can't imagine a relationship without a man in it the way they can't imagine a living room without a television in it.
She's got that one covered.
Are you ready for some stand-up comedy? Then please welcome to the stage the incredible Jessica Foster Kew.
Oh, lovely stuff. Thank you for having me. Right, well, this is actually a little bit thrilling. I am about to do the most controversial bit of comedy, it turns out, that I've ever done. I'm just going to tangle this. You're not going to... This is... Right, I've been doing stand-up for 15 years, and here it is, and I'm doing it for you. I'm going to do, genuinely, the most... comedy based on the most edgy opinion that I have ever expressed. It is coming up now. I hope you're feeling ready. Bear in mind, I've expressed opinions in my comedy on my trans allyship, queer marriage, ceasefires nows. And this right now, it turns out, is the bravest and most endangering and divisive opinion I've ever expressed on stage. Are you ready? Yeah. I am in favour of... clean air. I think ULEZ is good. There you go. I said it. I don't think it was well prepared for, but I think it is a very much necessary annoyance. Anyone that came here to watch a play is part of the group of people who are livid now. So, I live in Lewisham in South East London, where a little while ago a 9-year-old called Ella Adu Kissy Deborah was given her... She died. Her reason for death for the first time ever in London was given us because of how polluted the air was there. Where I live, that's where I'm bringing up my son. And then they brought in ULEZ. Obviously, I was delighted. And then they expanded it. And I was like, why is no one else being loudly pleased about this? I love it that Sadiq Khan has done this. We're at a point now where I think the climate crisis, there's only so much we can do as individuals. Like, surely at some point we're going to have to demand that governments do things on our behalf that have wider, broader impacts. And yeah, it is going to cause some discomfort. If you don't know what ULEZ is, it's a law that means that you get fined if you're driving in a ULEZ charge zone with a car that, to be fair, has to be pretty ancient to not pass a ULEZ standard. It essentially, to not pass it, needs to be older than you and pretty much run on the blood of bees. and people hate it. And when they expanded it, Rishi Sunak had the audacity to pipe up and say, well, I don't think we're they'd be prepared for it. Actually, I don't think... Whose job was that, Rishi? Was it yours, Rishi? Was that your job, Rishi? Could you potentially have given people financial incentives to get a cleaner car? Could you have helped the people with vans that can't afford a cleaner car, Rishi? Could you, instead of spending the money on building roads, if you gave a single solitary fuck, could you, and was it your job to, in fact, get people ready for that before it came in? Yes, it was, you monster cunt. Instead, you weighed in at the last minute and say we're not ready for it. That's not on, and the same way it's not on for me to... not give my kid any breakfast and put zero clothes on him, drag him into school naked and go, oh no! Someone tell the head! It appears he isn't ready! It's genuinely blown my mind that there is a backlash, and it is massive against you, Les. It is absolutely extraordinary that people went, massive group of gammon went and protested on you, Les, expansion today. On the day it was expanded, Les. They went and stood outside Parliament. What are they arguing? What does it say on their placards and on their pickets? I don't like these snowflake millennial avocado babies. They're pigs wanting to breathe in and out greedy. When I was a child, a bit of asthma never did me any harm. When I was a baby, the air was made out of nails and crabs and real men. If I want to drive my orca into central London, that is my human right. I can't believe that the people have taken time out of their energy and day and made room in their hearts to effectively and simply protest against clean air. I did a reel on Instagram that said something to this effect. And for the first time in my career, and I have done comedy about all sorts of pretty contentious things, it went nuts. It got picked up. And I had no idea that green agendas generally have been picked up as one of the things that the new alt-right hate. I hadn't realised that. I hadn't realised that there's a term of war on motorists. There's this, and I got messages... The most bizarre messages I got called... Well, my favourite one was someone saying, well, I might have time to make a placard, but you made time to call me gammon head. I didn't say head. I didn't say head. I didn't say head. But I wish I had gammon head. Hello, gammon head. Gonna get a T-shirt that says gammon head. They call me brainwashed, crank, blade runner, mentally ill, woke. A lot of them calling me woke, nutter. A few have deleted messages now called me a wanker, a cunt, an elite bitch. Elite bitch. Better than being an average bitch. they hate the elite, right? They fucking... This is so bizarre, and I'm going to find it my absolute favourite message. These are the people getting angry about this stuff. I got one comment. It is 2 pages long from an account called My First Boots. It's genuinely a business account of somebody in Bristol who makes toddlers' first football boots. Britain's smallest sizes! spread the joy this Christmas, feed the spark. That gets scary when you read what he's posting about you, Les. Okay, I don't know if we've got time to read out all of this. It starts with green policies are only affecting the poor. Oh God. And then it starts talking about Ukraine. Same with the housing crisis. Okay, I don't understand any of it. We've also got pure idiots pushing a water tech wheel but 60 foot in the air and hoping the wind will push it. What is he talking about? Look at COVID, doesn't believe in that. Uh-oh. There's a little bit about chemtrails. There's genuinely something here about human footprints and Ukraine. And then it ends with this. We will never learn, and soon it will be time for the violent people to step up and fight back. Words will be lost as the pen is destroyed by the sword. Anyway, if anybody does want any particularly small boots... My first boots. fantastic. Amazingly, that is the end of that bit.
Jessica Volstagor, everybody! Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. It's Jessica Regan here. And I think it's high time we announced some Guilty Feminist Big Speeches Winter Workshops. If you, like the majority of the population, have a fear of public speaking, or if you quite enjoy it actually, but you'd like to level up your skills, perhaps you know someone who could benefit from this training and this would make a great Christmas present, or maybe you're just curious and would like to give it a go. If you are any of these things, then please go to guiltyfeminist.com/big speeches to secure a place now on one of our winter workshops. They are taking place on December 11th at 11 a.m, January the 14th at 3 p.m, January 28th at 11 a.m, and our last one will be February 11th at 3 p.m. Book now to avoid disappointment. Our prices have never been lower.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah with a few quick announcements. We are back at King's Place in London with new live shows. On the 15th of January, our guests are Dr. Kirsty Sedgman, whose new book on being unreasonable is a fascinating look at competing value systems. And as well as that, we've got one of my favourite comedians, Olga Koch, and the co-host is Jessica Fostercue. Then on the 19th of February, we have the host of Academic Imperfectionist podcast, Rebecca Roche, and the hilarious Eleanor Conway with the amazing Sakisa as my co-host. For more information and to book tickets, go to guiltyfeminist.com and click on live shows. I will also be coming to Australia and New Zealand in May. Those tickets will be available very soon, so keep an eye on the website. If you want an ad-free version of the show, you can get that from Patreon, Acast Plus, or Apple. And if you want to help us out, leave your 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts, or just tell someone you know that they should listen to The Guilty Feminist with your face, or in a WhatsApp group. Who knows? Speaking of which, back to the podcast. Our guest today is a comedian and writer who has recently completed a creator residency at Baby Cow Productions and has written for the Emily Attack Show on ITV2 and The Now Show on Radio 4. She can also be seen on the OnlyFans Comedy Creative Fun Show on OFTV. Please welcome to the stage and to the mic, the incredible Mary O'Connell.
Hello. How are we doing? Are we all right?
Yeah.
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm okay. So I am a bisexual comedian. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bisexual female comedian. Big deal. And my track record of dating is, I guess I'm a little bit of an insecure bisexual because my track record of dating has been predominantly men. And I know that objectively it is the worst choice. Like, out of all the options, it is the worst one. Like, objective, I know that that is a fact, it is the worst option. And I think my track record has been men because you have to be nicer to women. Because they'll notice. And you could slowly poison a man. And he wouldn't realise until it was too late. Do you know how many men I'm slowly poisoning right now? 4. No, I'm not. I'm only poisoning one man, and that is my boyfriend. And because we're exclusive, I'm not allowed to go on dating apps anymore, which is... Yeah, I know, it's really annoying. Because I love scrolling through. It's just like online shopping. It's fun. But like, okay, give me a cheer if you use dating apps. Okay, there's some lies in here because there's more of you than that. But I don't mind dating apps, but a lot of my friends get upset over dating apps. They get upset when they get ghosted. And I'm like, why do you care that you've been ghosted? Why do you care that a stranger's rejected you? Because it's not even a proper rejection because they haven't met you to reject you. Like, I'm sure if they met you, they could think of several reasons to reject you over. But why do you care that you've been ghosted? For all you know, that person could have died. No one would tell you. No one would tell you hinge match number 47. You're not going to know. That person could be an actual ghost. Everyone who's ghosted me is dead. I'm sure of it. I'm 100% certain. Something you guys need to know about me is that I never really take anything personally, even when I probably should. Someone could say to me, hey, Mary, I really don't like it how you specifically sing in the shower and leave your dirty plates by the sink. And I'll just be like, is this racism? Sounds like racism to me. Or sexism, one of the two. And they're like, Mary, I'm your mum, I'm black, clean up your shit. I'm not a good daughter, I'm really not. I'm not a very good person and I'm not trying to improve. I think things are fine the way they are. And I have a lot of vices. I'm very interested in financial crime. That's one of my... It's one of my favourite hobbies. I'm a big fan of fraudsters and con artists. It's very now. It's very fresh. Like, it's just like of our age. I think financial criminals, maybe like we need a new Robin Hood. I don't know. But does anyone have like a favourite financial, like does anyone have a favourite con artist? Like any Bernie Madoffs, any classics? Elizabeth Holmes? Oh, FTX, yeah, I lost money in that. I did. That one, that's a joke for, that's, you know, that's not for everyone here. I'm a little bit of a crypto bro, but that's the, we don't need to, but we can maybe cut that out from the podcast. So I'm not proud of it, but yeah, I lost money in that. I do know the Crypto Queen. That is a very good podcast. Yeah, that's a good one. So my favorite, con artist is Anna Delvey. Right, so if you don't know who she is, she's someone who conned her way into New York's elite society for just sheer confidence, right? She just, like, walked into these rooms and decided that she was meant to be there. And she really, like, she fooled institutions. She was going to get a business loan from a bank to start up her own private members club. And she's someone who, like, wasn't particularly charming, wasn't, like, super beautiful. The accent she chose to go with was abrasive, you know? Like, that was her, but she fooled all these people. So I think it shows that like the stuff we hold dear, like class and wealth and status, is not real. Like it's not real because she tricked them. So I think it's beautiful. I think it's performance art, but she's a criminal. Like that's. And so if you listen to the Inventing Anna podcast, it's really interesting. And they interview one of her friends and he's saying, yeah, Anna, she used to dress nice and everything, but whenever we'd go out for breakfast, she'd always order her scrambled eggs well done. So I could tell she wasn't from high birth. Can you imagine that the way you have your eggs is an indicator of class? Because that's how I like my eggs. And when I've done this joke around, like people have said, like I've done this joke to some posh girls and they're like, what's well done eggs? We call them firm. I didn't even know. I didn't even know they were called firm. But I know that I like mine properly cooked. And so Anna Delvey was going to start her own private members club because she didn't like Soho House. Does everyone know what Soho House is? Yeah, if you don't know, it's a private members club where membership to it can cost like $2,000 a year. And it's just like an all bar one, but the people are worse. And everyone there works in media. And it's one of those spaces that I've never felt like high status and fancy enough to be in there. But I have to be in there for work quite a lot. But one of my life's goals is to be high status and fancy in there, making someone else feel uncomfortable. Like that's one of my life's goals. So I was chatting to a friend and she said, do you know what would be good? Like a Soho House, but for the hood. So it's like a podcast studio, networking events and CV workshops. And it's just a really cool collective space. And I said, you have just described a community center. Something we should be entitled to as a society. But your mind went Soho House first. That's a problem, right? That is a problem. That's like, you know, like I'm warped by capitalism. And so is she. Because when she first said it, I was like, actually, Soho House in Tottenham, I think that's an amazing idea. But anyway, I'm gonna join the crew now. Thanks.
Mary O'Connell, everybody!
Welcome.
Come take a seat.
Oh. Lovely comedies.
Hello. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, thank you.
Really looking forward to seeing your solo show. When's it on?
I don't know.
But it will be here.
It will be here, hopefully. No, it will be here in 2024 at some point. We haven't figured out the dates, but I'm going on holiday in January, so it won't be then.
Where are you going? Or is that as rude as
Tenerife.
Asking for his confession? Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
I haven't booked it yet. I feel like I have a brand. I'm booking it on Sunday.
Okay, good to know.
Sorry.
That is the worst plug for a show I've ever heard. It's like,
I'm so sorry.
Be honest, I'll most be on holidays next year. Yeah. But if I'm here, I definitely will be. But listen, we'll...
I really like it.
Sign up really to the Soho Theatre mailing list and remember the name Mary
She's
O'Connell.
Got a holiday in Tenerife, booking it on Sunday. After Sunday.
And listen, if you are interested in getting to know Mary better, book a holiday in Tenerife in January.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
We're not sure of
she'll
the dates.
She'll be doing her most polished previews there.
Hang out by the pool.
I might go well watching.
Oh, okay. These are good things to know.
I swear
as well.
To God, like, probably if you're anything like me, you go on holidays to get away from other comedians, right? And other reasons.
Yeah.
But, you go on holidays to get away from me.
Come.
This is new.
No, I went to Tenerife and there was another comedian on my holiday.
No.
We pretended we hadn't seen each other until the last day when we were stood next to each other at the same bar. We both went, hello. Just had a solid week of like really obvious ghosting.
Okay, I did my research on bisexuality or heteronormativity through a bisexual lens because I knew we were all bisexual women and Mary was doing some stand-up on bisexuality. And so I thought this was a really interesting thing for us to talk about. And because the whole world, I realised when I started dating women, the whole world is lined up for the things you do if you are in a male-female relationship or like mating rituals for women to approach men or men to approach women.
Yeah.
And one thing Hannah Gadsby told me when I first started to be interested in this and I opened my marriage to explore it, she said to me, most same-sex relationships between women fail at the first hurdle because no one makes the first move because women have not been socially conditioned to make the first move. Like all the movies we've seen, if a man is holding up a boombox in front of a woman's house, it's the end of a romantic comedy. If a woman is holding up a boombox in front of a man's house, it's the beginning of a thriller. We don't really have, like, women are not coded to make the first move. And so how have you found it? Is it good because you have to make your own rules and make your own plays and make your own... Or is it difficult because no one's role-modelled it for you?
I thought you'd say, how have any of us managed it? I think by doing things like saying, because you're here and I was hoping for a kiss. I mean...
Yeah, but that was very brave. I would never say that to a man.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, God, I would.
No. Because being rich,
they're capable. They're also capable of writing lol.
But it's a really interesting one that is. I've never realised this before until you just said it to me, and I went, "No, I wouldn't. I would not want to be rejected by a man, but I wouldn't mind being rejected by a woman."
Fascinating.
We've been conditioned to reject men, and so and we like women know how to reject better. And so it's okay being rejected by women because it's like, oh, we reject people all the time. We know what it's like. But it's,
Well, women have a higher standard.
I have a more sexist confession, I think, than yours.
Go on. Yes.
I find it harder to reject a woman in case I upset her.
Oh, yes, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. Yes. How would you...
Because I think if a bloke tries it on, you're not interested. You're like, get off, you fucking creep. But you wouldn't. You just
that
wouldn't talk like that
feel,
to a woman.
That makes you just me feel
oh,
sorry.
God, I'm so sorry, but no, thank you very much. I'm so sorry, actually. And then sort of make something up.
I will say, though, that having to ask a woman out, it gives you a whole new empathy for straight men, I think.
Yeah.
Clearly didn't give you one. What do you think, Mary?
Yeah, I think it is still like, it comes down to how we've been conditioned, because if you, like, the fact that you don't care about rejecting a man, that's because we've been conditioned to think that, like, men's feelings aren't as important and that women's feelings, like, it's more of, like, the emotional stuff. And so whenever, I think rejecting a woman is going to be a lot more tender. It's going to be like, it's like, oh, really enjoyed this time. I'm not quite feeling it. Have a fun summer. And maybe, like, you just ghost a guy. Like, you don't need to reply.
Oh, man, I've done some really bad rejections.
Oh, whoa.
I just remembered an absolute shocker.
Go on.
And it was a lesson learned.
Go on.
I was at university and I'd been seeing this guy and I just wasn't into it. No deep feels. No feels. But we just... a couple of weeks for me to work that out, and then I'd gone off for Easter, I think, for like a month, not around, and then came back, in my mind, like it was done. We'd barely spoken, it was over, but was going to have a conversation with him, met up with him. By this point, I'd been away for a month, hadn't done any washing. I'd had to throw on literally the only top that was in my, drawer, and it was pink vest that someone had bought me for a joke that said, in massive writing across the front, "Dirty bird." So I quickly put a jumper on top of that, met up with him in a cafe Nero. It was so hot in there and I was sweating and sweating so much. And unfortunately, he had thought we were about to take it to the next level and he wasn't like ready for me to be like, I think we should just be mates. And he got really upset and like he was crying and he was like, why are you in so many clothes? I had to sort of peel it off and then sit there and sort of sweat-soaked tops and dirty bird, having just rejected a guy, as if it was all part of some cruel prank. Yeah, I think it's... I am not proud of the fact that I wouldn't take... historically, I don't think I'd have taken a guy's emotions in such a considered way. And it's patronising to assume that a woman can't take a rejection. It's... the whole thing's fucking ridiculous. It's There shouldn't be any difference and how we behave.
I think we should be kind to everybody.
Yeah.
I really do. I think I worry when we go, oh, it's only a guy. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Men are human beings and they can get their feelings hurt. Come on now, feminists.
Yeah,
Gavin's
totally.
Here. Don't scare him away. He's come in good faith to see a play, which he hasn't seen.
Oh, and he's getting a play, all right.
I feel strongly about this, that if the one thing that I think you always have to think if you're on dating apps is the way when you treat men badly, you throw them back into the dating pool, feeling like women don't care about them or women are going to be, you know, not care about their feelings or going to be, and then you send them off to other women. So I think
just
treating
a little bit more.
Yeah, it's poor recycling.
Yeah.
And so for me,
the least
I think
we can do is upcycle.
Right. You have to upcycle because they're not in a vacuum. They don't cease to exist. And you send them out to someone else and they're a bit more brittle and a little bit more, you know, I just think, listen, if you're a decent person, you're a decent person and you're not going to be unkind to other people because someone was unkind to you. But I do think we owe it to the dating pool of all genders to be kind and to be respectful and I'm turning into Jesus and to do unto others as to Tinder unto others as you would have them Tinder unto you. I feel that's important.
Makes sense, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Hinge onto others as
you would
have
them
hinge onto you.
Exactly. I think it's really, really important. But it's interesting. You're right, Mary. I would less likely, if you after the show said, oh, do you want to go out on a date? I would never say in a million years, no. I would obviously go out with you and be going
for
to
how
a,
long? And be in a,
I would marry you if necessary rather than reject you.
I'd marry you if necessary.
You should start. You should start buying a new hat. You. I think. Kit.
Oh
no, but I wouldn't just say I'm not interested. I'd say I'm not in that place. I'm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, really, I would.
That would be
it.
Like a really queer thing to do. I think is be like, oh, it's no, but have you got half an hour? Because here's why. It's
here's
a no.
why.
And
it's
it is like
here's all yeah, the reasons I'm not interested in your child's card game. and yeah. by child's card game, I do of course mean vagina. So this is something I thought was interesting that I thought I'd throw in. So this was an article by hold on,
I've just spotted the words gender fascists.
Yes,
buckle up.
So this is about the origins of the bisexual movement by somebody called Sheila Jeffries. And she says the origins of the bisexual movement lie in the male-dominated sexual freedom movement in California in the 1970s. These male sexual freedom bisexuals adopted a bisexual identity which distinguishes them from those very numerous men in heterosexual relationships who engage in sexual behaviour with men on the side but do not adopt a bisexual identity. And so apparently the movement for bisexuality was to say, I make this part of my identity, not just something I do in a loo, around the corner, in a hotel room, in a, you know.
As part of being a closeted gay man who.
Or closeted bisexual.
Or closeted bisexual who,
I'm kind of out of practice. And it was interesting to me that it seems like men invented bisexuality, which I find annoying.
But women perfected it.
As is so often the way in the world. But, I mean, I don't know. Tallulah Bankhead in the 20s said that she was ambisextrous because they hadn't invented the word bisexual.
Yeah.
And as far
also,
as I...
this is just the first people to write about their own movement. This doesn't mean that men invented...
No,
shit.
Of course they were bisexual people, but in terms of the identity piece and the politics of it, as opposed to... But I think a lot of women in the 20s... had a very strong, although they wouldn't have said the word bisexual identity. Mm. How much is it part of your feminism that your identity is bisexuality and that you're out and proud about it, Mary?
I think it's hard to say because I identify as like a queer person and I feel like those are the communities that I identify with. Those are the people that I... surround myself with the most, but I'm also like a queer person of color. Like it's kind of hard to look at it through just one lens. Mm. And I have my straight friends, but they can't be like my only group. And so maybe if I'm having a chat with like a straight friend, I need to balance it out with a chat with someone else. So I don't have too much of each. I don't know.
Really?
Not
do you,
like,
do
not
you consciously move away from queer circles into straight circles and then it's straight back into queer circles again?
I think it's just how my friendship group has been planned out. It's not super conscious, but I feel like sometimes, I think as a bisexual, sometimes you have to make more of an active effort to be in the community because you might be in like a straight presenting, like you when you're in a sort of hetero, like, you know, like if I was with a man, then I'm kind of straight presenting, like in terms of like just what is going on in my life then. And so I make more of an effort to like embed myself in the queer community because I'm like, well, I'm not like in a presenting queer relationship, but this is still my community. Mm. So
if you're in a heterosexual relationship
and
you are bisexual and you identify as queer, how much do you think that the heterosexuality or the heteronormativity of your life impedes on your ability to identify as queer or feel your queerness or join into pride or all those kinds of things?
I feel like I've felt insecure about it, but then it's not just about who you're with. I think it's there's more to the identity than that. There's like...
I had a filthy thought.
Oh, did you? What?
Yeah.
Did you?
I think... I can't even about to say this in public, let alone on a podcast that's being recorded. But I think it's not just about who you're with, but it's also about who you wank about. Tough crowd. Okay, fine. I think that fluctuates as well. Like, I think that's funny. I don't think it's like this, it's not even a spectrum, is it? It's like this weird, wishy-washy, ever-changing pond. There are times where I feel gayer than others. There are times where I feel queerer than others. There's times where real straight moments. There's times where you're like, that sort of, I don't know, there's like a got real straight energy today. Do you have those days? I have those days. And then I've had days where I'm like, oh, no, I'm almost full les today.
Which is why, like...
I don't know.
And, like, self-expression is so important in those days. So, like, there are times when I'm like, I'm doing something really fun with my eyeliner. I think that's pretty bisexual. Like, you know... like I like to, like, play around a lot with, like, aesthetics. And I think that's quite a big part of things now, definitely. Yeah. Like, and just being in a community of people... Well, I play basketball, which is bisexual basketball, and we're not very good, but the vibes are good, and so there's not loads of like pressure to be like.
Well, one of the like classic like throws of shade that you get as a bisexual is pick a team. Which actually, if you are going to play a team sport, you must.
I was reading about the idea of bitopia, which is. Is a sort of riff on Foucault's idea of heterotopia,
right?
Which is really more about institutions and power and control and knowledge. Mm. And the idea of bitopia is a world in the future where, well, a sort of ideal utopia where older bisexual people can have access to sex with people of two or more genders as they age. And I thought, that's a really interesting idea, because as you get older, if you have a partner, your opportunity for sex will dwindle if you're married. But if you're, you know, intimacy, romance, you know, all of that is still there. But how do you maintain your bisexuality? Mm. I mean, you've just said through masturbation.
Or like, I don't know, fantasy. Doesn't need to even...
I thought about that, and I thought, I've never really thought before until I read about Bitopia today, about the idea that if you've got an elderly population and they fancy two or more genders, how do they, you know, I suppose it all goes on in old person's homes. I've heard it does.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have orgies.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and there's more, elderly people have been contracting, like, more STDs because they don't really care. Like, they're not going to get pregnant. And, like, there's just this sort of, like flippance towards it because they're just, like, the elder generation. So, like, there's, like, quite a lot of...
I've never heard of an old person's home, but I'm happy to hear about it now.
My granddad's had to be... I can't remember the details, but basically him and a lady... Him and a lady had to regularly be separated. because there were memory issues, and actually, if you are quite far down the line in terms of dementia, you might suddenly have a moment of lucidity when you're in the middle of banging your fucking lady in the room next door, and like you're gonna be, but one or either of you could be like, "What the fuck? What? I've just remembered who I am. Who the fuck are you? You're not my husband, Derek." Like. So there's a duty of care.
So there's consent issues with consent dementia. Issues,
exactly.
God, I hadn't thought of that.
But, I mean, the willing is the where there's a will, there's a way. And, yeah.
I'm not sure it's right to separate grown-ups. If they're old people who are, you know, I don't know what the ethics of that are, but I feel like if people have got a sex drive and they're finding each other, who are we to
I
say...
I just remembered what happened once.
Oh no! Okay.
They also stopped giving them sherry because it was always after sherry. And then they found that he was looking ever so smug, and she'd gone off, and they were like, "Why is he looking so smug?" And then
she'd slipped him a note, right? But because of the dementia, he'd forgotten about the note. And he'd gone to the window, and he opened the note, and it said, "Meet me in 30 minutes in room number 9. And they were like, "Oh my God, look, she was making an arrangement," but he never got the note. And they were all laughing, and they were like, "Oh, it's not that funny." And the woman that was like running the nursing home was like, "It is, because she's in room number 11.
Oh, I'm not sure I want to get that old.
Complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know that there's going to be a Bitopia for me.
Yes, and I don't know. I feel like I don't feel in a position to have an opinion on what to do about elderly people who realise they're bisexual and want to access that suddenly at some point. Like, it's a...
I think we're such control freaks, really, aren't we? Yeah. About, you know, I don't know. I feel like we're here for a short time. Mm. And it's just an urge, isn't it? It's just an impulse.
And whatever age you are, if there is consent, fill your boots.
Yeah, I
think so. Is that a nice motto?
I think so. Do you feel more feminist the more queer you feel? And the more heteronormative you feel, do you feel less feminist?
I think personally, because I'm kind of like, oh, well, like, I'm queer. I don't have to be, like, that feminine. Like, you know, like, I'm doing other stuff, you know? Like, I'm a woman of colour. It's actually, like, amazing that I'm just here. So I don't...
So you feel your identity is the job done?
I don't work that hard.
On your feminism, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I understand.
Because of my identity, I guess.
So you think, look, I'm here, I'm queer, I don't need a sign. I don't need to go to the march. I'm here, I'm queer. I'm just being, like, living in the world.
My existence is progression.
Yeah.
Like, I'm mixed race, it literally is.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that, that it's not always the people who have the most marginalised identities that have to be out there doing the work.
But I don't think that's right, I will say. And I wouldn't encourage this.
Mary's been happy to do her confession.
Yeah, no, we don't think a lot of the things that we do think and say are right.
No.
But
otherwise it would be called the smug feminist.
Jessica Foster, you've got anything to plug?
Yes, I'm going on tour in 2024. It begins in February and it goes on to the summer, and the show is called Metal, and please may you come.
Excellent. Are you bringing it to South Theatre?
It's my biggest tour yet.
I read about that. Are you bringing it to South Theatre?
That's how you plug it. Is that how you plug a show? Bring it to Leicester Square Theatre.
Okay, all right. Another close by theatre. Okay.
If you sell that out, then I can add some here as well.
Right. Okay, so it will be on in London at an undisclosed.
You're going to come more than once.
Oh, God. Okay.
The bit in it will have jokes by then.
All right. Anybody else got anything to plug that we need to know about?
If you want to come watch my show whenever it happens, I'll just post about it on Instagram. So just follow me there. My Instagram's Mary with the gold shoes. I don't wear the gold shoes anymore because they hurt my feet, and I'm working on branding next year.
Mary with the gold shoes.
Yeah.
Mary with Excellent. The gold shoes.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Round of applause for Mary.
Thank you.
Jess. Everyone at the Soho Theatre. Deborah Francis White, we've been the Guilty Feminists. Good night! You have been listening to The Guilty Feminists with me, Deborah Francis White, guest co-host Jessica Foster Q, and our very special guest Mary O'Connell. The recording engineer was Grundy Lazimbra, music was by Mark Hodge, the producer was Tom Selinsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Croft, Magina DCO, Zainab Mohammed, and everyone at Soho Theatre, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. If you're Catholic, Gavin, are you Catholic? Yes. You are.
Oh, he just confessed it.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's a good point. Have you been to confessional, Gavin?
Yes, once.
Once? Only once?
Got it all out in a wanna.
Was it to confess that you'd never been to confessional before?
It might have come up. But...
Yeah. Wow. And you weren't enamoured with it because you never went back. That's what I've learned.
No,
Yeah. Do you remember what you confessed to?
Oh, I'm not sure we're allowed, are we?
We're not sure we're allowed. I mean, you was probably seven. It was just like coveting sweets or something.
I'm getting
that?
The energy off. Oh, unless, maybe.
Sorry, unless
month.
You never went as a child and you went when you were 32 to say you'd killed a man. That's possible. I don't. If so, don't tell me because I don't have any kind of clerical, you know.
I or, do.
Get out of jail free card for you. If you tell us, we are going to have to tell the authorities, but they'll probably hear it on the podcast.
No. He's Gavin, not telling you.
No, I don't blame the man. That's, no, he's got no responsibility to tell us his many sins. All right. So this is feminist confessional now. So my first one is, I'm a feminist, but...
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.